Welcome to episode 25 of Call to Auction for Tuesday, February the 15th. This is Euripides from WoW Insiders Gold Capped out DPS, as well as the Hunting Party podcast.
And hey guys, it's Marco from the community site justmy2copper.org, as well as the Gold Guide 20kleveling.com. Remember, you can email us at calltoauction@gmail.com with your tips, questions. Will you answer the call?
And if you leave us a review on iTunes, we'd be very happy. And today, we are going to cover a few different points as well. We have a very special guest. Welcome to the show, Drew.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
So Drew is the member of Fark.com, and I found out about him when I saw his article on WoW Insider, 15 Minutes of Fame, that he plays the auction house, so I couldn't help but invite him on the show so we could talk about it a bit.
Yeah, I was just actually doing that just a few seconds ago. Some of the stuff that has been working since Cataclysm started still works amazingly. I can't believe it.
I know, right?
Yeah, he's probably.
I would have thought for sure they would have already had the market flooded out by now, but it's not, so all right, fine.
You're probably thinking, what the fark, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of what the fark, can you tell us a little bit about the site in case any of our listeners happen to not to know?
Yeah, well, you know what's funny is that we've been around for 12 years, so you end up with this like moving demographic, because basically everybody of a certain age range knew about Fark back when we came out, but then of course that moves all the time because, you know, nobody reads for fun in college and they don't surf for fun either for the most part. So the challenge is constantly trying to get in front of the people that are entering the workforce, and our demographic kind of shoots up around age 22 when people get out of college and life starts sucking a lot. but the challenge is to get in front of them. So it's actually not unlikely that there are a lot of people out there that haven't heard of Fark before.
I would be surprised, to be completely honest, because Fark is one of those sites I very distinctly remember wasting hours and hours and hours of salary time just sitting there reading Slashdot and Fark. Those are the two sites that I was constantly refreshing, and Fark was the one that made me laugh more.
Yeah, Slashdot is actually humor-oriented, are they?
I've actually not been to your site until today, but I must say it a lot.
Are you a member of one of these newfangled demographic kids?
I must be. I'm 25 though, so
there you go. That's about right. Like I said, 12 years is a long time. Plus, I've also noticed that like if I run into people who haven't heard of it, generally they're busy.
Yes, I am. I am quite busy.
I am true. Too, but I wasn't when I discovered.
Oh, that's awesome. How it works. So yeah, people are like, well, what's funny is we were trying to do a TV show several years back, and we were taking it around to different networks, and everybody had an assistant, and you'd go talk to them, and usually the assistant would be the person who'd be like, oh yeah, I love Fark, I read it all the time, and then the executive would be like, what, never heard of this, what are you talking about? But every once in a while you'd be the other way around. Yeah, that gives you some information. So like, for example, if my doctor ever, like, he knows I run Fark and he knows kind of what it is because we've talked about it. But if I ever caught him reading it, I would probably go get a new doctor.
Oh, that's awesome.
So the short description of what it is basically is it's what if the Daily Show ran the Drudge Report.
That's brilliant. I like that.
Yeah, it's the only short version I've got of that.
That's really concise, but I think I couldn't have nailed that down with like 2.5 pages in 45 minutes.
Yeah,
That should be the banner on your site. What are you doing? That's
well, probably copyrighted or trademarked or something.
Yeah, probably. Well, I've been in a pissing match with the Daily Show guys before, so they're not real happy with me right now.
Well, with any luck, they don't listen to this show, and I can say with almost certainty that they don't listen to this show.
Yeah, I'm not
if you don't piss off, if you don't piss off somebody, you're not doing things right. That's all I have to say.
Well, plus, I mean, serverless TV executives, I don't have any use for them anyway, so I'm not too upset.
So you mentioned a few things that caught my interest in the 15 Minutes of Fame article, among them the fact that you play the auction house in World of Warcraft. I was just impressed that you play World of Warcraft. I'm like, this is awesome. This is a guy who's clearly, you know, just as busy as the rest of us, and yet he still has time to do something like World of Warcraft.
Yeah, what I noticed it a bit ago when I started playing, like about, I think I've been playing maybe 4 or 5 years now. I'm not really sure how long, but because when I started, it was still vanilla, but Crusade came out right after I started, so it was sometime around then, whatever it was. And, you know, it's always good to have a lot of gold so you can get stuff, but I noticed that if you're running around farming materials, like, I haven't got any time to do that, and you don't really make a lot of money doing that either. So the trick was to go on the same thing I do. I trade stocks for fun as well online, And it's sort of a similar process. Find something that's undervalued, buy it, and then reprice it properly, and then let somebody else buy it and make profit.
Okay, so is that what you're doing in-game? Or is that more something, just an element of what you do in-game? Because a lot of
Not explicitly. Like, I mean, that's what I do in-game to make money when I'm not playing. Like, I had a busy week last week, so I log in every day for about 15 minutes, go on there and just try to find... They call it arbitrage in the stock trading industry, and that's basically where you find something that's priced wrong somewhere, buy it and sell it to some other people for a profit. That's what those online trading programs do all day long. They try to find these 0.5% variations in trading cycles and basically just buy a whole bunch of those and make money that way.
Yeah, I think we've both written about that a fair bit. We've always characterized that as risky. I mean, I spend most of my time doing things that are more like production based. Like, I have, you know, professions with characters that I can go and buy the mats and make the goods and put them on the auction house, and it doesn't take a whole lot of time. But I've done some arbitrage, but I've always felt that that's actually how I know for a fact that's how I got my start, and I know that's how a lot of people got their start, thinking, you know, buy low, sell high. But is that what makes you the most money in game? I mean, obviously in the real world this is a different story, but in game, is that what makes you the most money?
It can, because it depends on, like, it's on single sale transactions, yes. Like the Hourglass Drake that they got that they came out with. The first couple of those that came on our server, I'm on Deathwing, were priced somewhere around 15 to 20,000 gold. So I started just scooping them up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, people eventually figured it out. I mean, it's the same way in the real world with the stock market, too. If you find any market inefficiency, eventually it will be discovered by everybody and it goes away.
Yeah.
So the trick is you just have to jump on them, and you pretty much can't do that with the stock market because the trading programs are out there. They're too smart. They're too fast. They've already figured it out. But things are moving a little slower on the Warcraft auction house.
I was going to say, that's one thing that people ask me a lot. They like, you know, if you're so good at this, why aren't you rich in real life? And the answer is because I haven't started a really awesome website. But the other answer is that, you know, even though I am in the stock market, I have to, you know, play long-term value investing, because that's the only game that that retail investors can win. If you try and go up against the institutional investors who have data centers right next to the stock exchange, you're going to lose if you try and play that game.
Exactly. One way to really lose your ass is to try to trade options. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible to make money, but there are a lot of people that are smarter than all of us that are actually on the other end of that trade.
Drew, I love what you're talking about here, because this is like my bread and butter. I love the buy low, sell high mantra of the auction house. The whole idea of analyzing the cycles of WoW, you know, the weekly stuff, the Tuesday maintenance, the random stuff, the Tuesday PvP rewards, you know, that kind of thing, the weekend player base versus the weekday player base. You know, you can really get into the nitty-gritty stuff and the day trading, so to speak, for WoW. One thing I wanted to ask you was, have you investigated using the like you say arbitrage, but I know what you really mean is like a resale scan, because in the game, arbitrage actually means cross-faction, which is a great thing to do. I don't know if you're doing that.
But I have a friend doing it, but I haven't messed with it much.
Okay, yeah. You typically need a friend or another account. You can't do it with one account.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to ask you, have you gotten into flipping mainly through bids the items that people use to level professions? So one thing I love to tell people to do is to bid low and sell normal. It's like my little catchphrase thing. And I try and get them to bid on items like Mithril Ore or something that people are throwing up there and letting auctioneer auto price, which tends to have a very low bid. Mm-hmm. And then you win the bid and then you resell it at like a normal value and you're making ridiculous amounts of money from it.
I do. The place where I find most of it, it's actually you take it a step. Like, it's not exactly crafting, but it's conversion. Basically, like, the one thing I'm doing right now that makes a couple thousand gold a day is every morning I get on, I buy 20 stacks of Elementium ore, and then just prospect it, then carve cuts that I've got, throw all that stuff back up on the auction house, and that's good for an extra 1,000 or 2,000 gold a day profit.
Oh, yeah. And you know what else you can do with that is you can turn it. I don't know how many professions you have access to, but you can take what you're doing and do a whole bunch of stuff with alchemy and enchanting and various other professions from what you prospect. What professions do you have?
I've got alchemy, enchanting, engineering. I got one miner just because that's a lot of fun for smelting stuff. That makes a bunch of money. And I'm forgetting something. Basically, the core ones. What I don't have is leatherworking. I could never figure that damn thing out. Or blacksmithing. I never got around to it.
Oh, you would have liked the leatherworking conversions. But you can take what you're prospecting. You can use your alchemy to make metagems.
Yep.
You can create rings and stuff and disenchant them with the enchanting. So you definitely have a lot of options you might want to explore. But I know your time is limited, so you're probably just taking that quick whatever it is, double or triple your profits based on the time involved.
If you could just prospect every day, and then even if you don't have time to do any further processing, there's built-in profits right there. Same thing for milling. You know, if you just look at the price of whatever comes out of this processing, there's, because of the inherent time required to do it, there's always profits there.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do is hold back, like in the Jewel Crafter quest, there's three of them that require some of those green gems.
Yeah.
So when I prospect, I just basically keep all those guys out, and I only sell them on the days when that quest is up.
Yeah. Well, speaking of flipping, I think I made my first 2,000 or 3,000 gold in Cataclysm by, I saw the first Jewel Crafting daily because I was gunning for Jewel Crafting Realm first. Didn't get it, of course, but I saw the first daily, and it was one of those. And then the second daily was the same thing. So the first day I was just sitting there buying and buying and buying, and then the next day I was able to flip, you know, most of it for, you know, 200-300% margin.
Yeah, I've got the blue gem quest hasn't come up in a while, so I'm sitting on something like 100 of those waiting for that to happen. But like today the green one came up, and so I just made stacks of three, priced it close to the bottom, and just pushed them all out, and they're going for, you know, three or four times what they were going for yesterday, and that always happens pretty much.
Yeah, for sure. So have you gotten involved in any big flips, any really expensive items?
Not really, other than the Hourglass Drake thing. The first one I tried, it was back, it was one of those, like a level 60 mage sword of some kind that was going for like 1,000 gold, which was the top end you ever saw anything going. Somebody put one up for like 800, so I flipped it back for 1,000, and it took a month to sell the damn thing, but it finally did sell.
Well, that's the thing with the big ones. I only tried that for the first time recently. I bought the Tabard of the Lightbringer, reasoning that I would use it myself if I couldn't flip it, because I really liked it. And I just said, you know what, it's taking up spot in my inventory, and I haven't decided whether I want to keep it or not. I'm going to let the auction house store this at, you know, twice what I paid for it.
Yeah, exactly.
A month later, somebody bought it.
There you go. That's pretty much the same thing I do. I haven't been messing with the big stuff, just because if you get caught on one of those, you can lose your ass.
Yeah, well, I've been doing enough auction house stuff for long enough, because I started at around the same a couple months after you did. I started maybe 4 months after BC started, and I've been doing the auction house since then. So I've got enough cash that I can afford to lose my hat a few times. Which is the only reason I tried it, because I haven't been very risky with my portfolio before this.
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense, yeah.
So I guess you like to draw the parallels between value investing in the real world, which is basically what you were describing before, to the way that you play WoW. Do you see any other interesting parallels between the real world economy and the game?
Yeah, you know, I've been writing this stuff down because, strangely as it turns out, I've applied to get into a Haas and Columbia. I've got an MBA program, executive level stuff, and I've applied to get into there. I should have a good chance of getting in. We'll see how that goes. But I've been taking notes about the way that the economy has been running in Cataclysm, just because it seems like it's a really interesting sort of microcosm case study as far as, like, you know, comparing to the real world. It isn't identical to the real world economy, but it is definitely identical to a facet of it, which is, I find, kind of interesting.
Yeah, kind of like the mercantile exchange.
Yeah, sort of. Well, I mean, just the general theory of, like, you know, as people continue to farm materials and put it all up on the auction house, the price drops. And in a sense, that's kind of what happens, like, in our daily lives. We're all out, you know, working, creating something, whatever it is. And the longer we're alive,
your case, irony.
It's made. Sorry, what was that?
I said in your case, irony, but I was trying to interject it. Anyways, you were saying?
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. But, yeah, and so it's like, it's more like it's a hyper-sped-up version of the real economy, in the sense that basically stuff is entering the market so fast, inflation takes over a lot quicker.
There's a few things that are different, though. We have some pretty ridiculous people who can break the terms of service to great effect on the economy. So, for example, if you actually did take that miner of yours out to get some mining time, you'd notice, you know, sometimes nodes just disappear because it's in another phase, but you'll often see they disappear because there's somebody you can target, but you can't see is currently mining it.
Yeah.
That happens all the time. And you can I log in every day, and I typically see between 200 and 400 stacks of Elementium priced at just above the vendor price.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, you guys know that you get about 6 gems from a stack. So, like, uncommon gems?
That's what
so,
I mean from Elementium. When I talk about the vendor price, I'm talking about the vendor price, assuming I cut and vendor the green gems.
So 54 gold is what you're trying to say.
No, 54 is for Obsidian.
Or Obsidian, thank you.
Yeah, Elementium has less green gems, but more blue gems. Here's another example. The real world, the U.S. Treasury Department, or whoever would be the equivalent of the Blizzard devs, isn't just completely clueless. For some reason, blue gems, when they're cut, they vendor for less than green gems when they're cut.
Yeah.
I honestly, and there's a guy that I talked to on the JMTC forums about this a bit. He's Zamboni is convinced that it's a typo. They just got him backwards, and that's been the basis of our entire economy since Cataclysm launched.
That could happen.
I wanted to touch on something later on, but maybe it fits in well here with the Whiptail changes. They had a bug, obviously, where they had buffed Whiptail to the point where it would just keep respawning over and over again. And he had thousands of Whiptail hitting the servers, and people were panicking. And, you know, you seem to be the kind of person who understands supply-demand. You understand the whole mantra of buy low, sell high. And this kind of thing doesn't really faze you, because when you see a couple thousand Whiptail hitting the servers and you know Blizzard is going
to
fix this thing,
yeah, your first in.
Yeah, exactly. Your first instinct is buy. See, and a lot of people say, oh, that's common sense. It's really uncommon sense.
Yeah.
Because the vast majority of people see that happening and they dump their stock.
It feels mm-hmm. so bad. You're sitting there with your hard-earned gold that you've been, you know, working so hard on. And you're like, okay, well, there's more stock in this market than I can afford to just buy.
Yeah.
You know, like kind of like Warren Buffett, when I think it was right after they introduced New Coke, he just invested like 95% of his holdings in Coke to earn 5% of the company just because he saw an opportunity for it to go up. But you got to think, you know, everybody points at that as one of the greatest successes of modern capitalism. But what would have happened if something had gone wrong?
Yeah.
Just been another guy that lost his shirt in the stock market. And every time you see Whiptail, something like this, where something drastic changes. Like, I was sitting there on as much Whiptail as I could afford. You know, I bought 20, 30,000 gold a day of Whiptail, and I just sent it all to one of my alts. You know, I'm not going to bounce the mail back and forth until I have a chance to use it or sell it. But, you know, if that was a lot of, if that was more money than I had, then I'd be sitting there, you know, risking it all on the fact that will Blizzard notice and fix this? And then how long will it take the markets to recover? It's scary stuff, and I understand why people start selling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, people generally do the wrong thing, though. I mean, like, for example, I've got friends of mine, the stock market's been up something like 20% in the last few months, and I've got friends saying, hey, you think I had to get in the stock market? I'm like, are you crazy? Seriously? I mean, it's too late. Yeah, it would have been a great idea back in June.
Yep. But same thing goes
buy
for,
high,
like,
sell low.
Wrath of the Lich King items. You know, they're really starting to pick up. I mean, Frostweave is ridiculous right now, and I made a list of, like, 10 items to buy at Wrath of Lich King values when the Cataclysm was about to come out.
Right.
And a lot of people were telling me, like, Frostweave Cloth, no way. Borean Leather, no way. It's never going to go up.
Because, like, they were so used to the level of production, they didn't realize all the people that are putting stuff in the auction house are going to be putting the new Cataclysm equivalent now that they're 85.
Exactly. And that was an opportunity to buy. And people just, they have this herd mindset. And everybody says, buy low, sell high. It makes so much sense. It's really uncommon sense.
Nobody actually does it.
Exactly.
Well, you know what my excuse is? Because I didn't follow your advice either. I only bought a few things. My excuse was that my inventory slots, I've lost so much. So many items to the in-game mail. Like, I mail it to myself and it bounces back and I forget to pick it up in 30 days and I lose whatever I sent, 12 stacks or something. So there is a cost to using the mail system to bounce your inventory around. No, it's true. It's a cost because
I just think it's
not very smart. But I also didn't follow it because, you know, I was using all the inventory that I have. All of my characters have the biggest bags I can afford, and it's all full all the time because I'm, you know, holding something or you know, it's a character that's in use and he's got gear or whatever, you know. It didn't help that I actually started a guild and I no longer had access to my, you know, multiple guild banks because all my characters were in the guild. But yeah, so but I have definitely noticed this in the business that I'm in. One of the things that I do is I sell Wrath blue gems, the red ones. So I cut, you know, parry, strength, agility, and intellect into Wrath gems, because those are the best gems that you can put in any pre-85 gear or pre-80 gear. And yeah, absolutely. The price of Serenite ore, the price of Serenite bars has gone way up.
Yep, it's great. That was my number one item to buy. And I actually called it for the wrong reason. I called it for alchemy because I figured all the new goblins would need to level up through the Wrath of the Lich King stuff. And the best way to do that is to transmute Serenite bars into titanium. Sure. But it appears that they're really selling for all the other professions.
It's just a general shortage overall. Everything's pretty much gone out of the market now, so that's why it's dropped.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I've made a point of prospecting as much Serenite as I had time for. I've still got more than I'll ever have time to prospect, so I'm just going to smelt that because I can do that AFK, and I got to send it off to the auction house because at this price, I think a stack of Serenite now is going for like 60, 70 gold.
Yeah. Beautiful. I think I should deploy one of my kids to go fly around and farm that stuff for me because I don't have enough time that they do.
That was so awesome when I read your when I read what you were saying about your kid, 7 year old reading at like a borderline college level.
Yeah,
and like because I've got one kid and another one on the way. I told my wife about this. I'm like, you know, I read an article today about this guy. He had his kids start playing World of Warcraft, and within a couple of years, he was reading at a really high level for his age. And she's like, no. As soon as she started, I didn't even get to finish the story. She just started saying no constantly.
Yeah, no, it was actually pretty easy because, I mean, I didn't actually teach him anything other than just log him into the game and tell him to figure it out because he wanted to play the game and you have to know how to read to do it. So he learned.
That's so awesome. I love the fact that he's a ninja, though.
Yeah, he is a big ninja, though. He doesn't understand. He's like, he just wants to take everything all the time. What I like is when he queues as a tank and he's got DPS gear. He doesn't know how to tank. He has no idea. He plays a DK. And he always queues as tank because he's like, well, it's faster.
I think I saw this guy in a random once. I was sitting
there. Makes me wonder how often it happens. So, yeah, speaking of which, one of them just walked in. What's going on, man? What's going on? Can you say hi?
Hi.
This is Chance. He's not playing yet. This is the one that's illiterate.
Oh, okay.
Are you illiterate?
Yes.
Yes.
That's adorable. So, do you use any add-ons or tools or anything for the auction house?
Actually, I use Auctioneer just to keep it straight, but other than that, no. Like, I've read your column a few times and seen some of the things you talk about, but my eyes go cross-eyed when I start putting them together. And since the time issue for me is more important than anything else, and I take a look at that, I'm like, well, I'm still making money doing what I'm doing right now. Probably can make some more. I don't care. So I just kind of just do it, eyeballing it.
Honestly, for flipping, eyeballing is way more effective. I might recommend Auctionator over Auctioneer just because Auctioneer it just feels a little bit more bloaty than it has to, and Auctionator has some nice features. Like if you want to look at Serenite ore after this conversation, it would go and show you for every different stack size and every different amount, it would group it up. So it's actually a lot easier to sort through.
Okay.
But
I don't know if you do it already, but do you do vendor scans?
Sorry, I totally missed that. I got a we're having a Thomas the Train discussion over here.
Thomas down in the mine.
Yeah, you know, he does it every episode. I've seen that. George Carlin gets all cussing and stuff. It's awesome. Anyway, be quiet. I'm trying to listen. Okay, go ahead.
Well, now I'm trying to remember what I was saying.
Vendor scans.
Vendor scans, thank you. You obviously do resale scans. Do you do vendor scans at all?
As far as like, you mean like buying stuff that regular guys sell and remarking it up?
No.
That's a good idea, by the way.
I got a post called 22 Steps to Auctioneer. It was written like a year and a half ago, but it's still pretty good for the current version. And it shows you how to go through like resale and vendor scans. And the whole point of a vendor scan is you do your normal Auctioneer scan. It's really a search. Then you do a search on the scan for any items that are priced below the vendor price.
Oh.
If they come up, you obviously want to buy them. Now, there's like five items that come up that shouldn't, that you have to be aware of. So you want to look at that.
Right.
But like corpse dust comes up, I think, still, and it's way above what it should be coming up for.
Yeah.
But it's like a no-brainer. It's like free gold. If you're someone who's strapped for time, I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like when they started selling the enchanting parchment or whatever it was.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I am still... Okay, we should probably talk about selling stuff from vendors in the auction house, because I know if you're a casual auctioneer type that doesn't have a whole lot of time, that's really the lowest of the low-hanging fruit. It's just like, yeah. It's just money, just waiting to be had.
Oh, it's so easy. I love copper rods. They're probably my favorite.
Yeah, I like the obscure pets, like the ones that are out there in the Burning Crusade areas.
Yeah.
Storm Spire. If you go to Storm Spire, there's like eight pets.
Well, that's
you buy them all,
example,
mark
though.
Them up, 200 gold each. They'll eventually sell. It takes a while sometimes.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But the thing is, you're providing a service, which is transportation of pets to major cities.
Yeah.
What gets me is the people that are still, for some reason, buying... Like, how can I sell so many Dust of Disappearance? It just...
Yeah.
It does not make sense. I sell them for 20 gold. You know, they're in my APM. They're... Not APM, TSM now, Trade Skill Master. But anyways, if it's profitable, if it's above 11 gold, they get posted. If it's not above 11 gold, they don't get posted. I fill up twice a week, and without fail, I always have a mailbox full of sold Dust of Disappearance in my inbox. Yeah. No matter how many times I've told people, you can buy this right next to the auction house for less. It just keeps on happening. I posted it on the largest WoW website on the internet, and somehow it still happens.
Yeah.
So yeah, what kind of stuff do you have aside from Dust of Disappearance?
I'm trying to think what other because I remember the food stuff used to be a big deal back before they changed some of that. Like where you were looking for I can't remember one of the cooking quests when you had to do the quest a level needed some kind of cheese that you could find all over the damn place. People would buy that constantly.
Oh yeah,
Dalaran Swiss.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah, you can sell stacks of that for 20 gold a shot, and you know, you just buy limited quantities, no problem.
The refreshing spring water is pretty hilarious, actually.
Oh yeah,
that's in the inn next to the auction house.
One of the things that I've done lately is I've been selling a lot of those inscription icons off the stuff off the inscription vendor in Twilight Highlands. That's, of course, the advantage here is that people who are level 81 and leveling their inscription can get it off the auction house instead of having to, you know, spam trade looking for somebody to go and get it.
Yep.
I that was big. The first couple of weeks, you could sell those things for, like, all the items. There's a whole bunch of vendor items there. You could sell them for, like, 600 gold, but now it's,
but they were limited supply, though.
Yeah, now it's not limited supplies, so you can just buy as many as you want. Like, I would recommend buy one of each and post them for like double or maybe triple what they're worth. Leave them on 48 hours and see if they sell. Like, it's not this huge, ridiculous moneymaker because of the portals and how easy it is to go out there. But you're going to make the same number of sales as like spring water or whatever.
Portal there and a portal back.
Yeah, sure. Sorry, I mean, I requested to make a train track here real quick. I'm telling him where it is. There we go. He's off.
Nice.
Yeah, go downstairs and do it. All right, see ya.
So yeah, the other notes I had here is we wanted to take a bit of a dive into blacksmithing, but since you said you don't have a blacksmith, maybe we should pick another profession, huh?
Yeah, I've got no idea about that. Never got around to it.
Well, you have a miner, right?
Yep.
Well, you can make, what's it called? It used to be only enchanters could make it. Arcanite bars or something?
No, enchanted
thorium.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, right.
Yeah, you can make that now as a miner. A lot of people don't know that, and it's actually pretty good money.
Okay, let's check that out.
Do you use your miner to just smelt for yourself, or are you smelting and selling the bars?
Basically, just to kind of smelt for myself, because the engineer that I had, I didn't really have, like, there's no other really good standalone profession that I could throw in there that I didn't already have. I mean, at that point, I was looking at leatherworking. I mean, it sounds like I should have probably taken a look at blacksmithing, but basically never got around to it, so.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. You know, one profession is as good as another at that point, unless you're, you know what, though? Even me, I took mining over tailoring, which is a huge moneymaker, just because mining is such an awesome tool that you could use to reduce your costs when you're buying for stuff like, you know, blacksmithing or stuff like engineering or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, for several weeks there, you could just smelt bars and then pop them back up and make a profit off of that, which is kind of silly.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing you can look into is buying a stack of ore and then selling the bars in amounts that people are going to actually use.
Yeah,
and hiking the price up a little bit.
Well, even just selling it in the same size stack, just stacks of 20, it goes up. But yeah, if you're able to make it so that there's no leftovers, then yeah, you can absolutely make some money that way.
Yeah, the stack size thing's really kind of funny because I've noticed I've started doing that with, like, if I ever need to buy a stack, I'm getting so irritated with having to, like, click 15 times on, you know, single item auctions that I'll actually go looking for the ones that are 15 and just buy those if they're even close.
Oh, you should totally switch to Auctionator. Auctionator is perfectly fine. It's got a lot of cool features, but Auctionator, as far as bare utility, is just way better. It doesn't have anything like any of the advanced stuff we were talking about earlier. But one thing it does is, like I said, if you were to go just search for ore, or I don't know, something that you would find single stacks of, like dust. If you go and search for enchanting dust, it'll put all the singles at the same price into the same line item. So if those really are the cheapest and you just don't want to have to click 15 times, or click, you know, 15 times too, you just click on it once and there's a big button that says buy. You spam buy 15 times. It tells you how many you've already bought and how many are left. And then you just go collect your mail.
Very cool. I'm definitely going to download that then.
Yeah, that would be my one bit of advice, because Auctioneer is a good add-on that a lot of people worked a long time to get working, but it's got a lot of features in it that I don't think are really aimed at your average player. Like, I have no use for half the statistical modules that they put in there.
Yeah.
Well, you can do Auctioneer's got the easy buy, easy buyout, easy bid and stuff. Auctioneer's got that too, if you don't have that set up, like where you can just shift right click and instantly buy.
Oh, no, this is different though. The problem, Auctioneer displays you a flat list, every auction on its own line. Auctioneer displays, you know, if there's 200 singles, it'll at the same price, it'll display those 200 singles in one line.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just giving him an advice if he's going to keep Auctioneer.
Fair enough.
To go that route at least.
Yeah, I'll probably check out Auctionator and see, because I'm all about saving time, so that seems like the way to go.
Yeah. Well, one of the other things that I had on the notes here that we should probably talk about in more detail on another episode, but Trade Skill Master is a new add-on that it does. I don't know if you ever played around with Quick Auctions before it broke.
No, never saw it.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Well. And you know, let's talk about this another time. I think it's out of scope for the.
I do want to say, as a little segue into next time we do the podcast, the best part about TSM is the new ability to use percentages of a market value to determine the price of what you're going to put out.
Yeah, you know,
and that's its best thing. I did like an hour of videos on this thing, and
well, see, that's the thing. It takes an hour of videos to learn it.
Oh yeah,
I installed it. And I pretended that I had never seen it before. I pretended I had no background knowledge. And it still took me a bunch of visits to IRC to ask the developer some questions. And it took me a bunch of – I had to go and watch videos and read tutorials. And I finally got it working, discovered a few bugs, you know, and put a ticket in and whatnot. And it's great. It's set up the way I wanted to, but it took a lot of investment of time.
And yeah, see, don't you wish you had me holding your hand? No, I'm just kidding.
So when your kids get old enough, they'll be able to do it for you. That's what I'm waiting for. I already got them fixing my DVD and VCR and all that kind of stuff. So
that's so awesome. Well, yeah.
I'll teach him that? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Nah, but he can read the instruction books now thanks to that, so that works.
See?
I should just put a little yellow exclamation point over the TiVo and tell him to fix it.
Hey, you know how you guys have like a Florida tag? Can we get like a WoW tag?
You know, there's not enough weird stuff about WoW is the problem. That's why we've got Florida, because it doesn't make any sense. I kind of like that one as a result. Like, you know, the reason there's no Texas tag or no California tag is because those places are weird, but they're kind of weird the way you think they are. You know, like in Texas, people, you know, drink too much and shoot each other. And then in California, everybody like chains themselves to trees and tries to emancipate pets and all that stuff. So that's not anywhere near as funny as Florida, where it just doesn't make any damn sense at all.
Yeah. I've tried to explain, you know, when I first saw the Florida tag and then I read enough FARC to realize this is actually for real and I kind of get this now. I tried explaining it to somebody who wasn't on the internet at the time and it just, I couldn't do it. I could not express my mirth over the fact that there's a tag just for Florida.
Yeah, you know what's funny though is if you talk to people who actually live in Florida though, because they all know.
They don't get it.
No, they do actually. They know exactly what's wrong. They they don't have an explanation for it either.
Well, I mean, I suppose it's all a matter of perspective. I guess the level of ridiculousness in WoW doesn't justify a tag. But
yeah, it's not too bad. You know what's funny is I have seen a few FARC mentions in WoW though. There's a couple of them floating around in there.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Where?
Like the well, the auctioneer, well, the Aurelia auctioneer, there was a meme that we got started several years ago, and there's an auctioneer out there named after it. People have told me there's a few other ones on there. Let's see if I can do some Google foo real quick and find them.
Hold on. Auctioneer O'Reilly? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, there's an R-O-L-Y guy, and that's from some Photoshop stuff we were doing a while ago. You've probably seen the Orly Owl.
Oh, yeah, the Orly Owl.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't realize that was the Orly reference.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
It all began with FARC.
Well, not all, but a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah, or sometimes what we do is we kick the rolling ball downhill is what happened as opposed to starting it, but it's just as good.
Image memes for the win.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I punched it up, and I'm just getting links to we've had on FARC about Warcraft. There's quite a few, not surprisingly.
Yeah, it's mostly about FARC-worthy news items about World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably real ID, right? Did you talk about that?
Well, FARC tends to be more like, if you read in your paper, man bites dog, or something along those lines. That's they all source
WoW kid dies from playing WoW too much.
Right, yeah, dehydration. Yeah,
like, so we all know what that's about, so that's easy. But as far as like the real ID thing, that'd be a little more confusing. Or less, depending on how much you've been on Facebook and surfing through the same stuff.
Yeah, that's true. So I think we're getting up to the point where we probably start wanting to do an outro. But did you have anything else you wanted to talk about before we finish the show today?
Nah, I just kind of ramble.
Well, we appreciate the fact that you were willing to come and ramble at us, because we really I enjoyed it myself.
So it was really nice to meet you, man. Congratulations on your site.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad I succeeded, because I don't really have any other skills, so it's kind of good.
Well, you know, you could always just is there a way to turn drinking into some sort of skill?
You know, if there was, the planet would be ruled by the Irish.
I don't know. I had to make that joke just because every time that you posted up one of those FARC meetups, it was always about, you know, jokes about Drew and being an alcoholic, even though I'm sure it's not true, judging by the
sound. Yeah, I'm a functional alcoholic. Kids. I'm not just a regular. Actually, I just this is a really bizarre story. You guys know who Tucker Max is?
Not by name. I'm not up on the.
Yeah, he wrote a book called I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell, which is basically about him being a douchebag when he was in his 20s. And well, I guess it gets weirder. So he's a friend of mine. We actually went to high school together,
okay,
in Kentucky, which is also weird. And at any rate, he got invited to go hang out on the Time Bandit, which is a crab boat on the Deadliest Catch, and he invited me too. So me and Tucker were hanging out on the Time Bandit for a week up in Dutch Harbor with all those guys. And man, let me tell you, I always wondered whether or not I was an alcoholic. Now that I've hung out with actual alcoholics, I know I just can't cut it.
That's awesome.
So I can't drink 20 beers a day, man. And they're drinking Crown Royal. They're not drinking beer.
Wow. So, aside from the alcohol, though, did this actually make it on TV? Or, like, could I go and look?
Part of it's going to. I don't think they're going to explain it, because it would really make no sense that, I mean, first of all, it's like, I got, like, probably like a 1 in 5 hit rate on who I am. Tucker's doing a little better than I am, but the fact that we would even be on the boat would make no damn sense at all. But there's a prank that the Time Bandit plays on one of the other boats, which will be in the first episode of their snow crab season for this coming season. So it'll probably come out like episode 8 or 9. And me and Tucker are involved in that. I'm kind of floating around in the background. You can't miss him. If you know I'm there, you'll see me.
Okay.
But so we'll sort of end up in there, but I guarantee you they're not going to explain it, because that would just be too weird.
Yeah, it'd be a fairly long explanation, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's like who we are, why we're there, which actually there's really no reason other than we could get there.
Sounds like Thomas ran over somebody's foot over there.
Yeah, I think Thomas fell down a mine again. Always doing that. Where's George Carlin to cuss at him? We got to go get him.
Oh, gosh. Well, this has been an awesome show. I'm really happy you were able to join us, and I don't want to take too much more of your time. I know your kids have soccer, so we should. If you're ever interested, you're welcome back, and we'll talk about some more auction house stuff or whatever you like.
Yeah, I'd be glad to whenever. I'm pretty flexible, as long as I'm not in the air. Usually, I travel a lot, but not lately. So
good times.
Yeah. Well,
folks, that about wraps us up. You've been listening to episode 25 of Call to Auction. This is Euripides from WoW Insider and OTPS.
And hey, it's Marco from JustMyTwoCopper.org if you want to learn about the auction house, and 20kleveling.com if you want to see that hour of TSM videos.
So don't forget, our email is calltoauction@gmail.com. Our site is calltoauction.blogspot.com.
And you can find us on iTunes by searching for, you guessed it, Call to Auction. Till next time, guys.
Yeah, and I have another one on the way. probably a June baby, we're thinking. Although apparently it inherited my head, which is enormous. So he's going to probably come out a little early.